Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamaras.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is Go Touch Grass, the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else with your time.
Absolutely anything else. And if you like what you hear today, we've got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with our mini trending topics, our weekly newsletter, and our spin-off series Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And if you like what you hear, again, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We need more of them. Mm-hmm. But literally, the best review you can give us is to tell your friends all about our pod. We're trying to grow our podcast. Word of mouth is the best. And again, you know, join our little community, our little Grass Nation.
Discord is popping. We answer DMs.
We respond really well, especially if you're a patron. We're obligated to do exactly what you say forever. So if you're like Millie,
put that on record. If you're a patron, we're obligated to do exactly whatever you say forever.
So people were like, Millie, Elise, we want to know why Sabrina Carpenter and Olivia Rodrigo don't like each other. Guess what? We made a Patreon episode about that.
And it's up right now. You can hear that.
See, people were like, we want to hear you guys talk about politics again.
And we did it.
And we fucking
did it. We did it for you.
We did it for you, baby.
And a little bit for us.
Well, everything is, you know, symbiotic, reciprocal. But speaking of someone
who we want to hear.
She could take whatever she wants.
Someone who can ask anything of us at any time.
We consent forever. In perpetuity.
Our guest today is a comedian, a writer, an activist, a television and YouTube personality. She's appeared on MTV, MSNBC, Comedy Central, Paramount Plus, and I'm reading here, is a ukulele enthusiast.
You know, I am trying to single-handedly bring back I'm trying ukulele. To, like, you know, fix the image of the ukulele.
Because it's not great.
No. And that voice that you heard, it's Francesca Ramsey.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes. We're so excited to have you.
Wow, it's so nice that the fact that you're trying to remake the image of the ukulele brings us to our first question for you, Francesca. You've been on the internet for a nice chunk of time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see, how do you feel like the internet has changed in the time that since you started making content, started making YouTube to like now?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I first started making YouTube videos in 2006, senior year of college. Wow. So it'll be almost 20 years in 2026. And when I started making videos, people were always like, why? What is the point? Like, I would, you know, wake up early and make videos, or I would be like shopping for supplies like wigs and costumes. And when I would explain to people what I was doing, they're always like, I don't get it. Mm. Versus now, everyone is an influencer. Yeah. And like, when I first had my first big viral video in 2012, I made like a really significant amount of money off of that video. I quit my job, and I'll never forget, I took the check to the bank. And the guy was like, well, and that tells you how long ago it was.
I took the check
to the bank. And the guy was like, holy shit, $45,000 Like, what is this for? And I was like, first of all, mind your business. Second of all, I had a viral video. And he was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, well.
And it was truly like just something that was not in the zeitgeist the way that it is now. And like now everybody has had a viral piece of content or knows somebody that has.
Cause now it's like the lottery.
Yeah. I mean, not to diminish anyone's experience, but I say to people all of the time, like, it's not special anymore. It happens all of the time. Like the kind of numbers that I got when Shit White Girls Say to Black Girls went viral, it got.
Is that what the video was?
Yeah, that was my first big viral video.
I feel like I remember that. Like you saying that, I'm like, oh, I remember that video.
Yeah, so when that went viral, I got about 1.5 million views like before I got to lunch. And then I had about 5 million that first week. And now it's 12 million total. You can get that in a day on TikTok now. Like those numbers are, again, they're huge.
Talk to a numbers.
But they're not.
Talk to a numbers, yeah.
Girl, don't get me started.
You say you're going to spit on a dick and people, Barstool Sports group, which give you 12 million.
Right. So like now those numbers in comparison, like, don't feel as astronomical. And I will say to your earlier question about how have things changed, like the algorithm, having your phone, like I had a DSLR camera that I would have to like take my footage into my computer and like wait for 40 minutes for it to transfer into my computer. Then I have to open Premiere, you know. If I wanted a green screen, I had to fucking hang the green screen. Like the process of content creation was way more laborious than it is now. For better or for worse.
Yeah.
So it's definitely made it more accessible.
Wow.
So speaking of virality, currently on TikTok, you have, I guess, like, you have, like, a viral sound. It's your leopards are eating people's face song. It's kind of used to point out when a politician is like, but I didn't think they would be mean to me.
Yeah.
They're racist to everybody else but me.
Yeah.
What, like, number one, like, what inspired you to make it? And number two, did you think it was going to go? Do you have a sense now when you're like, this is gonna go far?
I don't have a sense. You never know, but like I'm really strategic about my work. So I actually wrote that song last year, and I was inspired because I had like written another song offhandedly called Instead of an Empty Apology, Write a Check, and it did really well. And I was like, I should try and make more songs. And part of what did so well, similarly with the Leopard song, is it's evergreen. It can be applied to so many different things. So I started like, what can I think of? And then I saw this story about this Black gay Trump supporter who went to a Trump rally and got heckled. And I was like, oh, you didn't think the lepers would eat your face? Yeah. And so then I started like, I couldn't sleep. And I just started like singing it in my head. And I was like, okay. And again, it was that thing of like, his story was going viral, and I was like, let me try and comment on it, and I'll do a song, and like, you know, I can sing. So I was like, let me just, you know, flex a little bit, and it blew up.
It's catchy, too.
Thank you. So I kept doing it, and on the topic of the ukulele, every time I do the song, I try to do it a little bit different. So I add more harmonies. I change up the structure. I started doing ukulele. I did an a cappella version. I did a slowed down, like a slow jam version. I did a Doja Cat-inspired one where I did like a Doja Cat impression, and I was like, leopards ain't shit. They're always doing this. And I like, so I.
That was good.
So
I'll listen to that. I'll bump that.
Yeah, so I like try to keep switching it up so that my audience doesn't get bored and I don't get bored. But it has been fascinating because every single day I wake up to like something happened on that Game of Thrones prequel show and suddenly my mentions were like, where's Francesca with the leopard song? And I was like, I don't watch that show. I don't know what this means.
All you need to know about Game of Thrones that I learned for Purifields is that they show full hog.
Oh, yeah. So listen, to be fair, I watched the original, but I'm not watching this House of Dragons show.
Oh, but the House of Dragons did show full hog. That's what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, though, is weirdly like, it doesn't have
people love it.
I'm liking House of the Dragon. I don't think it's got the same riz as the original.
Well, something happened and the girls were begging. And so I was like, So I was like, you know, on Wikipedia trying to like get caught up on what happened on the show so I could do a rendition. But it's been really it's been really, really cool. I'm very flattered that people are enjoying it so much.
Yeah, I see it all the time. Like, just at random. And it's either, like, from you specifically or it's other people. Because I feel like
I made a CapCut template.
Wow. And that is fame. And that is fame.
I feel like I've seen the CapCut template. You have. It's you, little it's in me the corner.
It's me singing. Yes, I learned how to make a CapCut template, because you always see this where someone has like a celebrity or like a meme in the corner as a green screen. And I was like, how did they do that? So I like watched a tutorial and I was like, I also did it because I didn't want to have to sing the leopard song every single time something happened. People are like, your voice is going to get tired, girl. And I was like, little do you know, I recorded that last year.
Yeah. Wow. Genius levels of, we're learning so much about like how the sausage is made and all the dedication and all this stuff. And I'll say, we joke about how online we are and how damaged our mental health is. But I feel like you're pretty well adjusted considering the DSLR of it all.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I mean, it's taken a long time to get here. I'll say that much.
Well, let's just jump right in head first into the discourse. Francesca, since we're recording this a few weeks before we release it, we decided to have a topic that's a little bit more evergreen and tailor it just for you. So much of your content is revolved around flop apologies. We wanted to bring up some of the most iconic online apologies and talk through what made them good or bad. A lot of the sources that I've used for these apologies come from the website Sorry Watch.
Ooh. Which is, it's really I did not know about that.
Guys, I fucking locked in. Sorry Watch is a site that analyzes, apologizes in the news, history, and culture.
Oh, I need a collab.
Yeah, like, yesterday. Okay, it's crazy that Sorry Watch hasn't contacted me.
Slide in my DMs, Sorry Watch.
It's created by writers Susan McCarthy and Marjorie Engel, and they are authors of the book Sorry, 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 The Case for Good Apologies, which is published by Simon & Schuster, and it was released last year, January 2023. So this is our sources. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to hear what the thing is, what they're apologizing for. And then we're going to, like, rank and rate and discuss.
Oh my God, I'm ready.
So we're going to start. And this is mostly recent.
Okay.
First up, in September 2023, Colorado representative Loan Bobert was ejected from a touring company production of the musical Beetlejuice. Her camp provided two apologies. The first apology was very snarky. Her campaign manager, when reached for comment about why Bobert was kicked out of Beetlejuice.
I feel like we should mention that calling her Bobert is a joke from our previous podcast. It's Bobert. So it's like we call her Bobert. We know that it's Bobert, but on this podcast, disrespectfully, we continue to call her
Bobert. I'm sorry. I'm so red-pilled that I actually thought that her name was Bobert.
No, that's just something that's we've done for two years
to be disrespectful to this lady.
Yeah. So it definitely makes her sound like an immigrant, which I know she don't like.
That's why we picked it.
Where are you from?
Yeah. So she's Colorado. She's Republican. This is very important. Her campaign manager confirmed that Bobert had been ejected from the musical, joking. And when he reached for comment, he said he could confirm the stunning and salacious rumors that in her personal time, Congresswoman Loan Bobert is indeed a supporter of the performing arts. Gasp! Exclamation point parentheses, right? Then Bobert tweeted, I plead guilty to laughing and singing too loud. And there was shade about her wishing that the Biden administration would police the nation's borders as capably policed people having fun. Also reports, this is what she said, also the reports of her vaping indoors was fake news. But then, guys, security footage was released from the Boyel Theater. And it was posted the same day that her and her campaign manager posted those snarky non-apology apologies. The camera footage was released, and the footage showed that Bobert was repeatedly vaping, being rude to the pregnant woman seated behind her who asked her to stop vaping, giggling as her date kept groping her boobs, reaching between the legs of her date. We don't know what they were doing. She was also wagging her finger in the face of security officers, to whom she apparently offered a, "Don't you know who I am?" followed by a threat to call the mayor. So naturally, after the video footage was released, she issued a second apology. And now I'm going to read the second apology. "The past few days have been difficult and humbling.
Oh, girl.
I'm truly sorry for the unwanted attention my Sunday evening in Denver has brought to the community. While none of my actions or words as a private citizen that night were intended to be malicious or meant to cause harm, the reality is that they did, and I regret that. There is no perfect blueprint for going through a public and difficult divorce." Put a pin in the divorce. Mm-mm. Put a pin in the divorce. "Which over the past few months has made for a challenging personal time for me and my entire family. I've tried to handle it with strength and grace as best as I can, but I simply felt short of my values on Sunday. That's unacceptable, and I'm sorry. Whether it was the excitement of seeing a much anticipated production or the natural anxiety of being in a new environment, I generally did not recall vaping that evening when I discussed the night's events with my campaign team while confirming my enthusiasm for the musical. Regardless of my belief, it's clear that that was not accurate and it was not mine nor my campaign's intention to mislead, but we do understand the nature of how this looks." Friends,
God,
how do we feel about Loewen Boberts?
Terrible.
And terrible. Why was it terrible?
I mean, there's so many layers here. I mean, the first, she says she doesn't recall, but she knows exactly what she did because she
recall vaping that evening is so funny. Yeah.
She was asked to leave, so she knows that she was participating in inappropriate behavior.
But it's
Whether it was beating that juice or smoking that juice, she was not doing what she was supposed to in that theater. And so her first response says everything. She didn't know there was video. This happens all the time. You're not sorry until there's evidence of the wrongdoing. So that shows me they're not actually sorry. And also, she did a lot of qualifying. Mm-hmm. As a divorcee, I can say with full certainty, I have never been touched with somebody's junk in the middle of a public theater because I was going through a divorce.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Your ex-husband, did he pull down his pants at a bowling alley in front of a group of 17-year-old girls? Because that's what her ex-husband did.
No, exactly. And look, here's the thing. She has every right to, you know, distance herself from him. And I am of the mind that you are not responsible for your partner's behavior in that way. So, like, sure, whatever he did is what he did. But to then use your divorce as an excuse, like, I'm going through a divorce. It's like, mama, everybody has been through a divorce. Like, yeah. get with it.
Famously, 50% of the population.
We had a hot divorcee summer, like, last year, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there would be a lot going on at Beetlejuice if every divorcee was like, yeah, I can just, like, vape and jerk people off.
Yeah, I would also add, for somebody who is, quote-unquote, pro-life, smoking a vape in front of a pregnant woman who had to ask you multiple times, for me, the only adequate apology would be for her to resign, which she should have done before, because if you are going to run on this family values platform, and you're going to... Exactly. But if you're going to demonize queer people, if you're going to try and take away their rights of women and, you know, non-binary folks and,
yeah,
you know,
like people with drag queens.
And ban drag queens, and then you can't keep your hands out of your friend's pants and you can't keep your vape away for 2 seconds, you are not qualified to run on a family values platform. You should lose your job. The end.
I feel like that's, like, the central... I mean, there are so many hypocrisies layered on top of each other here, but one of the central ones is, like, as she's doing this, she's one of the people leading the charge to say, like, drag queens are trying to sexualize children and all this stuff. And it's like, you're at Beetlejuice getting handsy.
Absolutely.
And the guy was a
Democrat. The guy was a Democrat. We have to say this.
I question the commitment to his principles if he's going to Beetlejuice with Loewen Boberts specifically.
Yeah. Like, we have to remember, like, that men are weak-willed.
That is true.
Okay, and I will say this, right? I'll say this, right? I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to be vulnerable because I did say men are weak-willed. There's all this narrative, men are weak-willed. There's that whole thing about, like, in World War II, there was all these, like, cute women who would, like, flirt with Germans to like get Nazi secrets. And I'm like, women would never do that. Women are so much stronger and have more power. Guys, I went to all male review. And I ran out of money in 30 minutes. So maybe women are not as strong-willed. I ran out of money in 30 minutes. I got, guys, I got at Hunkomania. And I'm being vulnerable. Just like Elise was vulnerable about having Meghan Trainor on her Spotify Wrapped, I'm going to be vulnerable about losing all my money at Hunkomania in 30 minutes.
Hunkomania.
Hunkomania.
When did you go to Hunkomania?
Listen...
Also, Hunkle sounds like a hot uncle.
Hunk.
That's what I. Oh, you said Hunko. I thought you were saying Hunkle, and I was like,
Hunkomania is a different show. Yeah, different show. I'm also interested, and I do think Millie would lose her money at that one.
And you know what? It's always the unassuming one. Because I'm like, Cowboys do nothing for me until I was at Hunkomania. I got by the Cowboy guys. But anyway. Yeah. Okay. Back to this. Okay. So yes. Sorry Watch said, again, that this apology is about her feelings and that there's quite clearly a pattern with celebrity apologies that they always focus on their feelings and how the relentless news media affected her. The past few days have been difficult. And her blaming the public and difficult divorce, like, it's our fault, the public, for making her divorce difficult with the guy who... flashes penis at a bowling alley in front of a bunch of 17-year-olds. So that's what Sorry Watch says. We all are all in agreement. We're in alignment that Lauren Boebert, that apology was bad.
That apology was bad. And I do have one other point I want to make on this, which is just that if she had not taken such a shitty tone with her first apology...
Yeah.
I highly doubt that this theater would have released that footage. And for her to be like, oh, everyone's been being so mean to me. It's like, because you were as like dickish as humanly possible in your first one. Saying,
no pun intended.
Talking all this shit, saying none of it happened, trying to act like the theater ejected you wrongly and stuff. And so it's, you put them in a position to have to prove that they ejected you for the right reasons, because you know people who are Lauren Boebert stans are crazy. She owned a restaurant in Rifle, Colorado, where the theme was that all of the servers were carrying weapons. So nice. The theater has to prove now that we kicked her out because she was vaping and all this stuff. If she had just like given, I don't even think she would have needed to have a great apology, just a boilerplate like, I had too much fun at Beetlejuice or something and didn't take that shitty tone and didn't deny all of it, the theater wouldn't have had to release the video and it wouldn't have gotten to the place where it got. So she put herself in the position
that. I'll also add that something that I think is crucial in actually making like real amends is actually like committing to change behavior and then actually doing something to rectify the situation you caused. So maybe it's a donation to the theater. Maybe it's buying out the theater and being like, you know, I got ejected from the show. I had a really great time. What I did see, and theater needs to be more accessible. And that's why I'm giving money to this organization so these kids can go see Beetlejuice. Do you know what I mean?
I'm gonna push back on you with that because I dated a guy. We broke up. I always dated a guy. We broke up. Stopped talking to him, and he sent me a Venmo. He sent me a $5 Venmo.
$5 Venmo.
I'm sorry for being a piece of shit. So, guys, I don't always agree that putting your money where your mouth is always works.
It's funny to say I'm sorry for being a piece of shit and do it in a way that only underscores that you're a piece of shit. Like, yeah, is rude.
Yeah, like, I don't know how much a Beetlejuice ticket is, but you might have felt differently if he gave you, like, a gift card to Nordstrom Rack for, like, $200.
The discount one? The real Nordstrom.
No, but I'm still saying, like, you know, he's being economical. He understands your style. He's encouraging.
I've got some great stuff at Nordstrom Rack.
And $200 can take you very far at Nordstrom Rack. But what I'm saying is if he had given you some coin, you might feel differently. $5 is where he got it fucked up.
Guys, he follows me on TikTok. and that's all we can get out of that one. But the world is small, guys. I ended up befriending his old boss. So, guys, Let's move on to the next iconic apology. Let's talk about Shane Dawson.
Oh, God.
This is the one I suggested.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Shane Dawson is an American YouTuber, actor, filmmaker, writer, and musician. Dawson was one of the first people to rise to fame on YouTube after... This is from his Wikipedia. Don't hit me, Francesca.
No.
After he began making videos in 2008 at the age of 19, he garnered over 500 million views during the next 2 years. Most of Dawson's early work consisted of comedy sketches in which he would play original characters, impersonate celebrities, and make light of popular culture. Some of these impressions later drew criticism for their offensive content, including racial stereotypes. Where do you think this is going?
Oh, I know where it's going. Because mm-hmm. Mr. Shane Dawson has called me hard N-word before, wow. including his fans. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's why I took a big gasp when this one came out. Because I have a moral death wish for this man. Okay. I don't fuck with him.
Yeah. Well, don't start any fatwas on our poor podcast. Maybe. Listen, anything to get us some views. X, if you're listening, please clock in. Okay. This is his, this is his apology.
Wait, I didn't sleep with a cat?
Let me read it.
This it's is important we get his words right.
Oh, yes,
it's
yes,
important
yes.
Let's that we...
So this is the apology, right?
Yes.
I didn't fuck my cat. I didn't come on my cat. I didn't put my dick anywhere near my cat.
Mm.
I've never done anything weird with cats. I promised myself I wasn't going to make apology videos after last year's thing. So I'm just trying to be as short and honest with this as possible. One out of question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Second tweet. I've apologized many times for all the dumb shit I've said in videos and podcasts over the years. I learned my lesson over and over again. And I'm more confident now in my ability to be entertaining by just being myself and not being so shocking for laughs. Two out of question mark. That story was fake and was based on a dumb, awful sketch idea I had years ago that I never made, thank God. And when the opportunity came up for a funny moment in a podcast, I told it as if it was a real story, which was disgusting and very, very dumb. Mm. Fourth tweet. My goal with the podcast and with my videos years ago was to tell shocking stories that would make people laugh and scream, oh my God, no you didn't. And I think I was so crazy. It's embarrassing, and I fucking hate myself for it. Millie, let me tell you something about Millie Tamaris. Could not find the next three tweets. I have to go to seven. And let me tell you, I was deep in Barstool Sports. The fucking ads I'm going to get for looking at Barstool Sports for so long. Jesus Christ. Like racist board shorts I'm getting. So sorry for what I said about my cat. I'm so sorry for what I said about anything or anyone that was offensive. And I'm sorry for being someone who thought it being super offensive and shocking all the time was funny. I'm sorry for my past, but I'm really trying to make it right. And then I can't finish.
I'm like crying.
So
I never fucked my cat. I never come on my cat.
Yeah.
So this apology, just to put it in context, was made after a clip of him being on a podcast where he it wasn't like a joke, like, hello, you know I fuck my cat all the time. It was like, one time my cat was like on the bed and I like put my dick, or like I rubbed my dick on it so hard that it came, like,
yeah,
it was like
awesome.
pretty like intense and graphic, and it got resurfaced and went viral, and then he had to issue this lovely apology.
Well, I just want to add, I have so many things to say.
Please.
But first and foremost, I have a new song in TikTok. Please go check it out.
Oh my God.
The song is, I'm feeling vindicated, somebody I always hated. And it's about the fact that I have called people out throughout my career. People will call me a hater. And then years later, everyone's like, oh my God, that person was terrible. And I have to say that Shane Dawson is trash from day one.
Mm.
And the best apology is change behavior. And if you always have to apologize over and over and over and over again, that tells me you haven't learned your lesson.
Mm.
He built an enormous career off of saying salacious, racist, hateful things about myself and other people, and to say like, oh, I never fucked my cat. Well, sir, we have ample videos and that you put out here, not like security camera, you willingly.
Yeah, not Lauren Boebert.
You willingly, and not even just cats, like him putting his face in his dog's crotch and stuff and saying things about children and like all sorts of disgusting things. And then kind of like what Sorry Watch was talking about, he focuses on how bad he feels. This is about how terrible I feel. And that is just like a very manipulative tactic to actually avoid accountability, because it makes people feel almost sorry for you. Like, oh, damn, yeah, this has been really hard for him.
Yeah, it's feel bad for the guy who definitely did not fuck his cat. I also will say that something that I did like about his apology is that it brings light to this very specific time on the internet that was early internet, and I would even say like in comedy and this movement that has aged very poorly, and we talk about this in our Bean Dad episode, but it's just like there was a period of time, especially like in white male comedy dominance, where being super offensive was the joke, and you had to try to say the
it still exists,
but for the most part, like, most of culture has moved on or acknowledged that that is wrong, and the others have on Barstool, but
yeah, it's very low-hanging fruit. It doesn't require any talent to just say racist, sexist, homophobic things or to do blackface. None of that requires any talent,
but they feel like at a time like, well, I don't really feel, and I'm not saying Shane Dawson doesn't feel this, but I'm saying, like, there was a time where that was, like, widely accepted, as long as you were, quote, in on the joke, as long as you, like, you were poking fun at it, and it's okay if you did it and all that stuff. And, yeah, like, we have moved past that conversation and moved past that, but I did like that he, like, kind of articulated this thing that a lot of people are trying to have this conversation now, but like looking at things retrospectively about like the early 2000s comedy type. And he's just like, I really thought that that was it, and it wasn't. And I hate myself for it. And
yeah, I guess
not enough. It's not, doesn't mean anything.
I mean, look, I
like that aspect of it.
I mean, I hear you. And I definitely agree that that was a genre. I think for me, what always missed the mark is people would say they're in on the joke, but it's like, yeah, but you're always punching down. So like, yeah, how, we're not in on the joke. If a, yeah, white man is making jokes about how black people are so ghetto and we eat fried chicken and we do blah, 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 and they're like, but I'm in on the joke. And it's like, no, but I'm not in on the joke. I'm the black, yeah, person.
Like, I'm playing a character who's racist or something. Like, I feel like, right, that was, I feel like I saw that.
That was very popular, yeah.
In like, especially like when we started getting into comedy.
Yeah.
I think people, white people in particular, and I feel like I was guilty of this to a certain degree too, of like being like, well, I am anti-racist or I am liberal, so like I can play with stuff and make jokes because I'm
at least
joking.
Tell me right now if you have a blackface thing, because
I definitely don't. That I will say I've known
guys,
that was wrong.
We claimed it. Now we have CC video footage of her jacking off someone in Beetlejuice in blackface.
I hope it's all of the things. Yeah. It's like there's a cat in there, there's
she's
everything.
Her cat,
listen,
all that stuff.
Maybe if you focused on the border instead of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If you focused your attention on calling in the border instead of me.
Yeah,
is Colorado near the border at all?
No.
They
don't. No. In Canada.
Pretty sure
maybe
Colorado is
Canadian.
Landlocked.
Yeah, Colorado's landlocked, not even by Canada at least.
But I just mean like this idea of like, I don't know, in a like doing improv or something where it's like, oh, I'm going to play a character that has like regressive views, and then it's like, okay, but actually, like, that's not fun for someone who's a victim of those views to watch. And it's like, I don't actually, unless you're coming from a place of having experienced it, I don't think your commentary is actually valuable on that
topic. I think it's also just a matter of, so often people just say terrible things and they're like, it's satire. But like, satire requires like actual commentary on the thing.
Yeah, and also like,
not just repeating the thing.
Yeah, but also poking to somebody in a position of power.
Exactly.
So it's like, whatever. Well, guys, 3 days after Shane Dawson tweeted this, he proposed to his partner. He engaged his partner of a long time not to focus on him not fucking his cat. This was irrespective of it.
Yeah.
He apologized for not fucking his cat and then publicly proposed to his partner. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as much as it pains me to say anything positive about Shane Dawson, he's not stupid. He's been on the internet a really long time. He has millions of followers. He knows how the news cycle works. And this was very strategic on his part. Everybody was talking about the cat tweets. So now divert the attention to this. And then this became the news cycle. I think it was even covered in a few like gossip magazines. Like it
People
was...
magazine, definitely. Two gay people getting married that have some kind of fame. People magazine was all over.
Yeah, and I wouldn't doubt if he has a publicist that was like feeding this to different places and giving them exclusive coverage or interviews or whatever. We see this happen all of the time. Something, a celebrity gets called out for something and then suddenly they drop an album or they show up at a thing or, you know, they wear some amazing outfit and then that's the thing everybody's talking about.
I just wonder how it feels to be the partner who gets proposed to because the guy you're dating is in a scandal online where they said sex with a cat. And it's like, okay, obviously the partner,
hot take, I believe that Ryland, his partner, is well aware of who Shane is. None of it's a surprise. He knew who he was when he started dating him when they got engaged. And he wouldn't have a career if he wasn't with Shane. So like he has capitalized and monetized their entire relationship. And as challenging as the time was, I have no doubt that his views were up, his revenue was up, and you know, bad press is good press
especially when you're making money off views.
Yeah.
Like especially when you're monetizing an account, it's like whatever is kind of like,
well, apparently they don't... you can get $45,000.
Yeah, but this is different. This is the later times where it was like,
yeah, the checks are not what they were at that time, but you know, Shane is somebody who has done makeup collaborations with Jeffree Star and has a lot of merch and has written books and has done movies and has, you know, a popular podcast. Like all of these things drive traffic to him, regardless if you like him or you don't like him. And so, you know, in the age of the attention economy, like this is a way to keep people talking about you for better or for worse. And again, he's not stupid. He's been doing this a long time. Nothing is accidental when it comes to these influencers.
Yeah. I just wonder if in the dark recesses of the like partner's mind, if he's like, damn, I can't believe that I'm getting this ring over the cat thing.
Yeah. you get
it. You look at it every time
in.
And you're like, you just see the tweet in your mind.
I never fucked my cat. I never fucked a cat.
I don't think he cares. He's all in. They just had fucking kids recently. So,
we don't have time for that. Speaking of another bad apology, after the That 70s Show actor Danny Masterson was convicted of raping two women, his former co-stars, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, sent character letters to the judge. These letters are used to ask for leniency against the sentencing. And when those character letters went public, people were very pissed at Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. So Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis found the most unassuming wall on the pool on the property of their pool house and made this apology.
We support victims. We have done this historically through our work and will continue to do so in the future.
A couple months ago, Danny's family reached out to us and they asked us to write character letters to represent the person that we knew for 25 years so that the judge could take that into full consideration relative to the sentencing.
The letters were not written to question the legitimacy of the judicial system or the validity of the jury's ruling.
They were intended for the judge to read. And not to undermine the testimony of the victims or re-traumatize them in any way. We would never want to do that. And we're sorry if that has taken place.
Our heart goes out to every single person who's ever been a victim of sexual assault, sexual abuse, or rape.
Okay, my God, I have so many thoughts. Mila looks so fucking pissed off in this video. They look really pissed off. And like the subtext to me, the way she keeps like looking at him is like, I told you to not do this. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was a conversation and she was like, I don't think we should do this. And he was like, I think the letters, because this is purely speculation on my point, but like it's like all the micro movements happening when she's not talking. Like, mm-hmm. she keeps kind of like biting her inner lip, mm-hmm. and she keeps kind of like pursing them and like looking at him. Yeah. And like, and even not to give him credit, but like Ashton comes across more natural. She comes across like she's really acting. She's like, yeah. we support. And he's like, yeah, you know, we really messed up, whatever. And she's doing more for, in my mind, that feels like she's really pissed off and she's like trying to sell this. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of those times where a written statement would have done them a world of good. Like, the video comes across, like, way produced. It's very clear she's reading off screen. Mm-hmm. You can even hear at some points, like, the click of the computer. I think they're probably, like, clicking the Google Doc or whatever. And it just comes across as, like, very inauthentic.
Yeah, I also think it's funny for them to keep, like, just at the very end, she keeps in her reaching to, like, turn off
the authenticity of it.
Yeah, which is, like, that reads as fake authenticity to me, because it's like, this is actually a really important thing that you're talking about.
This happens in a lot of influencer apologies where they, like, set the camera up and then they sit down and then they take a breath. It's mm-hmm. all made to give you this impression of, like
they're really stressed.
This is they're really stressed. This is really off the cuff. This isn't, like, pre-produced, but it's all very planned. Mm.
I agree that I think a written statement, you're so right, would have been the better move, because this video, I mean, again, just like the body language analysis for days, the tone analysis for days, and then I feel like they inadvertently made a meme of themselves, because that, like, image of them in front of that wall immediately was being screenshot and, like, sent all over the place.
But even the fact that then people zeroed in that they were sitting in front of that wooden part on their, like, ginormous, ginormous estate. It's, again, it's like this, they're giving this false sense of relatability. This was the most shabby chic part of their home that they could show you. And the other thing that I often point out, because I also am, like, obsessed with apologies, is, like, qualifying statements really undermine the authenticity and like, the depth of whatever you're saying. So you say, you know, we're sorry if this happened. It's like, no, sir, it did happen. You did make people feel this way. And I think especially considering that Ashton has, like, a nonprofit towards helping young trafficked women.
Which
is, like, very sketch. So again, like, that, the thing I always bring up about writing a check, like, this is a great opportunity to be like, we are donating money to this advocacy program that helps survivors of sexual assault and provides counseling or does whatever, because we understand that the thing that we did here has harmful consequences for the victims of Danny Masterson, but any other survivor who might want to come forward. Mm. And so we want to counteract that. And y'all have the money.
Yeah.
So write a check.
As we can see from the picture of the full estate, like, you guys have the money.
Right. And, you know, just Sorry Watch had a really good, like, segment on this, so I'm gonna read it. So much sorry ifing, which is exactly what you said, so much passive voice, so much emphasis on intent rather than impact. We would never want to do that, and we're sorry if that has taken place. Like you said, qualifying statements. Saying, quote, we support victims, when the whole point of these letters was to support the perpetrator, is self-serving and disingenuous.
Yeah.
The duo's tortured syntax, the pain that has been caused by these letters, reflects their attempts at deflection. Also saying that Danny's family asked us to write the character letters as if it had been impossible to say no, as if it's important to tell us it wasn't their idea, and the letters were intended for only the judge to read. Subtext, geez, you weren't even supposed to know about them.
Yeah.
As if that would make it better.
Yeah.
There are ways of distancing themselves from their own conduct. And then Sorry Watch says, if you can't take responsibility for your actions, don't apologize at all. Just don't.
Yeah, I'm, like, going over my head what would have made a better apology, and I just feel like it's something along the lines of, like, we were blinded by our many years of friendship, and we hurt people as a result, and hearing the feedback from everyone made us realize that, and we're sorry, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also a really good, important reminder that, like, when you mess up, there's always going to be a possibility that people will not accept your apology.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I don't think there's anything that they could have said that would have won everyone over.
No, but taking, no way,
but taking more accountability, like you're saying, and just the honesty, like, the way that Sorry Watch framed it is they kind of put this on Danny's parents versus we have a relationship with this person, and this has been really difficult for us to wrap our minds around what he did.
Yeah.
And we're still wrestling with that. And in that moment, we tried to do what we thought was right for him. And now in retrospect, we realize that it was very hurtful and not the right thing to do. Like, not everyone would buy that, but I would believe that is more honest than, well, his parents asked us.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was only for the judge. Like, I feel like that is the big thing where I'm like, you guys shouldn't have said that, because that made me feel like
You're very happy, private. Yeah, you're mad that it got out.
Right.
Yeah, that a lot of anger is that.
And that you don't actually understand what people are upset about. Because essentially, you're giving yourself away that if this hadn't gotten out, you would have had nothing to apologize for. Because you'd be like, well, there's no apology if y'all don't know that this thing happened.
Yeah, conscience clear. Right. As long as it stays where it's supposed to stay.
Yes. Okay, so we only have two more apologies. So we have Colleen Ballinger, which Colleen Ballinger is known by her character Miranda Sings, and she was accused of exploiting and grooming minors via group chat throughout her career, with several of the accusers being members of said group chat. In what may be the worst apology video the internet has ever seen, Ballinger took to her YouTube channel with a ukulele to explain and deny the allegations in a video that has been mocked across the web since. Elise and I went in a very deep dive about all of this on our Patreon, where Elise makes me watch the entire 10-minute apology video and spends 40 minutes apologizing for making me watch the apology video.
I said, if we're going to do this, I think we have to experience the entire video. But then I was like, damn, that was rough.
Yeah, fuck you. Well, we're going to make you experience 45 seconds of it, or maybe a minute. Just so you guys get the vibe, and then we'll just comment on it.
Yeah.
Hey, it's been a while since you saw my face. I haven't been doing so great, so I took a little break. So a lot of people are saying some things about me that aren't quite true. Doesn't matter if it's true, though. Just as long as it's entertaining to you. Right? You guys having fun? All aboard the toxic gossip train. You're chugging down the tracks of misinformation. The toxic gossip train. You got a one-way ticket to manipulation station. Toxic gossip train. Tie me to the tracks and harass me for my past. Cause rumors look like facts. If you don't mind the gaps, I won't survive in the crash. But hey.
Okay.
At least you have.
Enough. Enough. 10 minutes of this shit. 10 minutes of this shit. Thoughts.
Oh my God.
Really,
I have
went
so
viral.
I have so many thoughts. Mm-hmm. I have so many thoughts. I was so pissed because I learned how to play ukulele during the pandemic. It was one of my pandemic hobbies. And I was just like, fuck, I can't play ukulele now.
You did major damage to the uke girl community.
She
and
really did.
That's very painful because my sister plays ukulele and sings beautifully at all family events. She sang with ukulele at my wedding.
We're bringing it back. We are reclaiming the uke.
Nevertheless, she persisted.
Yes, exactly. But kind of what we were talking about before with like the Mila Kunis of it all, like doing the camera, she does this as well. At one point in the video, she acts like she's stopping the video. And then she goes, you know what? I'm not going to stop the video. And she like sits back down, and it's so calculated. And even like the angle of the camera is kind of like pointing down on her. So she looks very frail, but like the angle is very like, I'm so sad and like little.
Yeah.
She does a lot of the same things. She has so many moments where it's almost like you can feel her rage, because she says things like, you stabbed me in my bony little back. You know, I hope you guys are having fun. You guys don't care about how hard this is on me. It's like, to be calling this an apology was totally a misnomer, because she doesn't apologize at all.
No.
And even just like doing a song shows that she does not care about the seriousness of the allegations that are not toxic rumors, okay?
Yeah.
Like, there are videos of you in group chats with children, you know, saying very sexual things about private parts and bodily functions and sending minors underwear and like,
and all of
these are things, again, not rumors, but your fans say happened and have screenshots. So for you to turn this into like, oh, it's rumors, you guys, I've never groomed anything but my cats. It's like, mama, the definition of grooming.
Lots of cat stuff, guys.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Everyone with needs a certain dog. Influencers and their cats, but
yeah,
leave your cat alone.
And look, you know, birds of a feather, because her and Mr. Shane Dawson were buddy buddy for
I remember that from our
quite an amount of time. Yeah, the whole thing was just so bizarre. When all of this happened, I remember there was like this long period of time where everyone was wondering if she was going to make a response, and I was pretty confident that she would say something, that she would feel that she needed to, but no one could have seen this coming. It was absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she made a ton of money off of that video. I have no doubt. It has so many millions of views, and lots of people watched her content.
One of them being me and Millie watching the whole thing. She got a full completion from us.
Yeah, it really, I do think, and again, I wouldn't call it an apology, but it is one of the worst responses I've ever seen to absolutely heinous allegations, many of which we have evidence of. Like, yeah, screenshots, not speculation. Yeah.
Screenshots galore on this one. I just thought it was interesting because as I was watching, I felt like I saw her do every single thing you've pointed out as like, again, the inauthentic, yeah, the sitting down and going like, and then taking a breath, and also like that shitty kind of tone of like, well, aren't you guys having fun with what you're doing?
I've been having a really hard time. Yeah, I needed to take a break.
Yeah, you haven't seen me in a while because I'm so sad. Like, I feel like she literally did every single thing. And as the video goes on, I remember she gets to the kind of being like, but if I acted kind of weird because I was like,
I was a loser. That's what I was guilty of, is I was a loser and didn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah, I'm not a groomer, just a loser. Yeah. I remember that line.
It doesn't even rhyme. Guys, I think that it's okay to have music and art that's inspired by a difficult time in your life, but that should not take place of the apology.
Exactly.
She should have had something separate and then maybe gone, whatever. I'll say that this was the worst YouTuber apology of all time until this weekend, which I'll say, okay, the popular YouTuber Cody Ko, who we're going to get into at some point, probably on our Patreon, who has over 9 million subscribers across 5 channels, have been embroiled in an ongoing controversy after fellow YouTuber Tana Mojo alleged that he had sex with her when she was 17 and he was 25. And instead of addressing it, he performed a DJ set at a Vegas pool club that was already booked. And the first song he started with was a house remix of Justin Bieber's Sorry. So, guys, he's sorry. And he feels bad. And somebody tweeted, Colleen Ballinger ukulele song Apology Walk. So Cody Ko DJ mix to Sorry by Justin Bieber Apology could run.
My vindicated song was inspired by this Cody Ko moment.
Really?
Because I've never seen it for him. He always just rubbed me the wrong way. He had a few like ironically racist vines and that same thing of like, I'm a white dude, bro. And like, I'm in on the joke. But also just like he built his platform off of like reaction videos where he would kind of take like little clips from small creators and then essentially like make fun of them. Mm. And I always just felt like it was very mean-spirited. Yeah. And like, I just, it's that thing where you like get a vibe from somebody and you're like, I just don't feel like this person has like the best interests of like the general public, and he's being pushed to us like he's so funny and cool, and I'm just like, I don't see it for him. So I don't know that I would qualify this as an apology. I do think it's more of a tongue in cheek, like, look, I don't give a fuck, because he knows nothing's gonna happen to him.
Yeah, I feel like it reminds me of like, didn't Justin Timberlake recently, like, he was doing a live show and he came out and he was like, I'm sorry for nothing.
Yeah.
we have one more apology, and this one was awesome.
Okay.
And I think it was a really solid one. So we're going to talk about it. In 2013, lime Skittles were replaced by green apple Skittles. Lime lovers were upset and extremely vocal about it. 9 years later, the company launched an Apologize the Rainbow campaign. Skittles went live on Twitch and Twitter to deliver 880,000 personal apologies to all people who complained online about the loss of lime Skittles. All 880 people were offered a free package of Skittles consisting entirely of lime Skittles. Let's watch a clip of that epic apology.
9 years ago, we took away lime Skittles and replaced them with green apple. Turns out, that was a terrible decision. In fact, 130,880 people complained online, and they've continued to complain for 9 years. To generate excitement about lime's return, we turned to an unlikely source. All that online anger. Instead of just pretending none of it happened, we apologized to all 130,880 people who complained. Because nothing shows how much people love something like their anger when it's taken away.
Good morning. In 2013, Skittles upset a lot of people by taking away lime.
That's fun. I'm having fun.
Yeah, fun little apologies to round it
out. I mean, hot take. I think a marketing agency was paid very handsomely for that campaign.
It was very smart.
Like, I think they killed two birds with one stone because they got amazing coverage for the brand and they, like, gained back the trust of their loyal customers. And, like, yeah, they got people.
And also, again, they didn't say that it was someone else's parents that made them change. They didn't do a deep sigh.
Yeah.
They went in there and
if you were hurt by us changing the color or the
just
flavor.
Said sorry.
Exactly.
They didn't play Justin Bieber's sorry. They said sorry.
Exactly. They financially compensated the people.
They put their money where their mouth, where our mouths are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They really did everything they were supposed to do.
Yeah, so that's just how I wanted to round out.
Yeah, round out on a positive note.
Let's leave it with a positive note. I didn't fuck my cat. I didn't fuck my cat. I didn't go anywhere near my cat. Let's go to Grasshole.
Okay, so Francesca, Grasshole of the Week is our segment where we declare the person who needs to log off the most. But before we get to our grasshole, I did want to acknowledge someone who is our grass hero. This was a phrase we originally coined for this random British guy that was fighting with J.K. Rowling for weeks and weeks.
Oh, yeah.
He had like 200 followers and she was like really coming after him. And he was like, no, I stand for trans people.
Yeah.
So he was our original grass hero. This is a person who's using the internet perfectly.
Yeah.
So I do want to shout out Sheikha Mara bint Muhammad bin Rashid Al Maktoum. She
good
is.
For you,
oh, you nailed that.
Good for you, Elise. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do audiobooks. she is the daughter of the ruler of Dubai, who posted last week, which will be several
her divorce,
weeks.
Right?
Yes, oh, she yeah. did. She informed her husband of their divorce via an Instagram post that reads, "Dear husband, as you are occupied with other companions, I hereby declare our divorce. I divorce you. I divorce you, and I divorce you. Take care, your ex-wife." So she divorced him on Instagram. Apparently the triple repeat of "I divorce you" invokes an Islamic practice called the triple talaq, where if a man declares he's divorced from his wife three times, they're instantly divorced.
Wow.
So
wow.
She's saying,
I wish I had that. My shit took 6 months.
She instantly has divorced him. She took it back because I think usually only men are able to do this. She said no. I'm using it.
Yeah. Yes, reclaiming the triple divorce.
You're with your fucking companions.
I know.
And I'm divorcing you three times.
She said, I got triple D's on lock.
Yeah. Since you're busy with your companions.
Wow. Yes.
So she married Sheikh Mana bin Muhammad Al Maktoum, who's also a member of Dubai's ruling family, last year in a glamorous ceremony that was featured in Harper's Bazaar. But so, like, some people initially thought that this was fake, but she has posted other stuff after this. It is definitely real, and neither the UAE government or her husband have publicly commented or will respond to comments. So I just wanted to shout her out as someone who used the internet perfectly.
Yeah.
I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. Yeah. It's really solid.
Yeah, no, she really stuck the landing on this.
Yeah, yeah. She said, oh, you're out and about? Okay, well, see this.
I divorce you. Mm-hmm. I divorce you. I divorce you. I divorce you.
He was definitely leaving her on read before this post.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, she was having a hard time getting in touch with him, and she's like, okay, fine. We'll do it in public then.
Yeah.
And to go back to the Beetlejuice of it all, sometimes you got to say three times things three times to hit.
Okay, call back.
Call
she's,
back.
She's a writer.
She's a writer. She's a comedian. She's a podcaster.
So honestly, wishing her the best in her divorce girl era. Yeah. If she wants to go to Beetlejuice, you know, keep it cute.
Yes.
Keep it cute. Keep it cute at Beetlejuice.
Jack off somewhere else. Jack the guy off somewhere else.
Okay, now this brings us to our grasshole of the week. This week's grasshole is 56-year-old Javon Thomas, who has the reply all fuck up, I think to end all reply all fuck ups. Thomas is a staffer for San Francisco DA Brooke Jenkins, but he has unfortunately lost that job after sending a reply all email to Jenkins, aka his boss, asking what color panties you have on.
Okay.
So again, not only did he send this to his boss, he did it's a reply all. So he sent it to the full staff. That's bad enough, right? Not great. But can you guess what he was replying to? Could you even begin to guess? You can't, but
oh, something from HR?
It was an event commemorating the 1998 killing of Matthew Shepard.
Oh, no.
So if you want to scroll down, we can actually see it on the screen. Yeah. So event commemorating Matthew Shepard, reply from Javon Thomas, what color panties you have on?
Oh, no.
For anyone who doesn't know, Matthew Shepard was a 21-year-old gay man who was brutally murdered in a homophobic attack in the late 90s. His death led to the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crime Act. So I'm going to... We put ourselves in Thomas's shoes for a second. What would your next move be?
I mean, I would just resign immediately. there's no apology that you can make. I mean, again, I'm a broken record here, but make an apology, make a donation to this, you know, organization or whatever the event is, but you just got to take the L and bow out. Like, yeah. You just, there's nothing you can do to come back from this.
But I feel like he's grasshole, so he's posting through it.
He's grasshole. He's suing. he's suing her.
Wow.
Suing her.
Wait. Okay.
For what? Wrongful termination?
Not even. Invasion of privacy.
Okay.
Defamation. How can I? I don't understand.
No, none of that makes sense.
I don't understand. Defamation and infliction of severe emotional distress. So they fired him, obviously, because he replied, what color panties you have on to an
you
event.
You caused yourself distress.
But he was trying, like... Did he have an affair with this woman?
No.
It seems like he was probably multitasking, and he meant to send that to someone else, maybe?
So you're on the right track, at least according to what he says. So in a filing in Superior Court, Thomas said that the email was supposed to be a joke that he was sending to his friend whose dad had just died.
Okay, that doesn't make it any better.
I promise you guys, nothing will make sense
about
this.
I didn't fuck my cat.
It's like, okay, so he thought he was sending it to his
He
friend.
Still thought it was like Shane Dawson level humor of like, just say something offensive. My friend's dad died.
Yeah, so what color panties do you have on? But this quote from the lawyer in the filing really made me laugh. The text to his friend was a whimsical question. It was a whimsical question that was part of the plaintiff's standard jocular repertoire with his friend.
Oh, my God.
I just think I'm like, what is your definition of whimsical?
Sometimes I'm like, God, because I took my LSATs and everything to be a lawyer. And I'm like, you know, whatever. I didn't do it because I don't hate myself. But then I do hate myself. I'm doing comedy. So therein lies the conflict. But to come up, to be paid $200, $300 an hour, to come up with shit like that was a whimsical, like, come on. Like you know,
whimsical. Yeah.
I mean,
so
it's very clear that he doesn't have good legal counsel because no reputable lawyer would take on this case because there is nothing to be gained. He has not been wrongfully terminated, which I would think that would be at least in there. But defamation,
yeah,
you haven't been defamed by people speaking on, like, something that you did. That's not defamation.
I don't know. I feel like Giuliani could have got the job done, but too bad he's disbarred.
So, okay, in light of all that, so again, he basically says, like, no, it was actually supposed to be a text to my friend. It was a whimsical text to my friend.
Yes.
But because of this filing and the subsequent media...
His friends are all like, my dad's alive.
Yeah, it comes out
that Thomas was the subject of a lawsuit himself in 2018 for sexually harassing a woman when he was working as a victim's advocate.
Oh no.
So, the story is dark, but the broad strokes are that she came to his office after being the victim of a crime and he, like, made sexual advances to her.
This man is a sociopath.
Yeah, and so, anyway, the point is, that case was in his past. He knew that full well when he went into this. Now I'm like, you did want to send her what color panties you have on.
Well,
I don't think it was a whimsical text to your friend at all.
Yeah, I think, I don't think, you know, it's that thing of like intent versus impact. I don't think it matters what his purpose in sending it was. The fact is he sent this inappropriate text at work.
Yeah.
And now that we know that he has a pattern of saying inappropriate things, we can surmise that he did do this on purpose.
Exactly.
And I'm going to go hug Tua with it, guys. I'm like, do you care what color panties I'm wearing? Like, come on. Like, that's not even that hot. Like, isn't it like, I want you to take off your panties or something? Like, what's going on? I don't know.
Yeah, he's confused on a lot of different levels. Like,
it's not even that hot, guys. What are we doing here?
So what from making a reply all fuck up, doubling down, and suing over it when you know you have shit in your past, we must say, Javon Thomas,
Go touch grass.
And that brings us to the end of our episode.
Oh, yes. So fun.
An iconic guest, as we knew you would be.
We knew this would be perfect for you. You fucking knocked it out of the park. Francesco, where can people see your songs, your comedy, your stuff?
Yeah, you can find me over on TikTok, Francesca_Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Francesca with an H. I'm Cheska Lee on Instagram and over on Facebook. And and you can go to my website, francesca.net, to sign up for my newsletter.
Ooh. And guys, you can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram, at Elise Navidad on everything else. Again, if anyone works at Meta, I'd love to get Elise
Navidad
across Elise the
Navidad.
Board.
We're
working on it. We're on
it's
the road to Elise
time.
Navidad.
Yeah.
But until then, you can also follow this podcast at GoTouchGrassPod on everything.
You can follow me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and on TikTok. You can follow me at MillieTamaris on Twitter. I'm still there. I don't think I'm leaving, guys. It's too late for me. I'm going to stay.
Go down with the ship.
I'm going down with the ship. It's getting fun again. Now that everyone who said that they were going to leave left, it's fun. But now it is super racist. Guys, thank you so much for a great show.
Until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum podcast.